let's say for at least 2 weeks, two weeks or more. How many of you, you've known this was coming up and it's been in your plans? That's a whole lot of you. All right, good. All right. How many of you just this week found out about this? And so sometime this week you have found out and it's kind of been in your plans to come to this event. All right. All right, good. Thank you. How many of you just found out today that this was going to happen and you put it in your plans? Anybody just found out today? Anybody at all? I keep seeing that flag in your hair. I keep thinking your hand's raising up, but again, evidently not. And so, okay, all right. Okay, some of you, you've had 2 days, 3 days, 5 days, 2 weeks, maybe a month or more to plan. You know, look. You know, there's a lot of things that we get excited about and we put on our schedule. If you have a calendar, I don't know if young people keep a calendar, but you might. You may have a calendar in your room where you mark your birthday, you know, in big, bright star, big red star, something like that. Or you know, you put special things on a calendar. There are some things you just, I mean, things like this you just don't forget. Hey, how many of you have either a learner's permit or your driver's license? How many of you have that? Okay, I know this. The day you were going to get your driver's license, you got geared up for that one, didn't you? I mean, you knew that was coming. I mean, honestly, it was probably your birthday or close to it or whatever time you were ready. Look, you got excited, you were pumped, you were up early, you got there to get the driver's test going on, and if you passed, you went to school, you know, maybe like around noon or 10 o'clock or something like that, and you walked in the door with the little card in your hand, and you said, "Let everyone beware. I can drive now." And you had your picture on there, and you say, "Oh, I don't like that picture," and you show it to 9,000 people. I don't like my picture. You want them to say, "No, that looks just like you." But you know what I'm saying? It was an exciting that day. No one had to tell you, this is the day you're going to get your license. I mean, son, it was marked in your heart. Whether or not it was put on the calendar, you knew that was coming. You were ready for it. But, you know, there are some appointments. There are some appointments you just soon avoid. You know, like going to the dentist, you know? I mean, you know, when mom says, "You're getting a root canal," you know, or, you know, cavities will be filled, or the mad dentist will be drilling from your mouth to China. You know, I mean, he's going down in, and you think, "This is great. I can't wait to get to the dentist and then hurt for the next 7 hours. I just can't wait." All right, those appointments you're not interested in. Surgery, I mean, who says, "Yeah, I'm getting my defibrillator taken out of my life. This is great," whatever that is. I mean, "I'm getting my spleen split. I mean, this is great." Nobody gets excited about surgery. Or how about this? Final exams, you know? I mean, honestly. I mean, nobody says, "This is great." Now, if you're a graduating senior, okay, you could have a little argument there that this is it. But I mean, honestly, now look, I know kids hadn't changed a lick. When I went to school, look, on any day of any test, final exam, midterm, any kind of a test, there were always some kids who just consistently didn't show up. They just didn't come to school that day, you know? Why? They didn't want to take the test. I got tuberculosis, teacher. I'm sorry. I couldn't make it, you know. Liar, you know. And some of those yahoos that I went to school with were trying to get answers from somebody else, or they wanted to know what was going to be on the test. They cheated, you know. I know what they were up to. Well, the truth is, there are some things you try to avoid. There are some appointments you don't want to be there. Well, can I tell you something, young people? There's another appointment. There's another appointment that's out there on the schedule, and it's on a calendar. You don't have the calendar. The calendar's in heaven. Now, I don't know if it's an actual calendar, but there is an appointment book. There's a schedule in heaven, and God's the only one who knows it. It's the day in which you're going to meet God. It's the day when I'm going to meet God. It may come by way of death. It may come by way of some other means that God brings things to a conclusion for you and for me, and we face God. There's an appointment. There is an appointment, and it may not be something that you're really interested in knowing about, but I got news for you. It's there. You say, well, I don't plan to go. Got news for you. Can't miss it. Because God's in charge of the schedule. Everybody in this room is going to meet God someday. There is an appointment with God. In fact, let me tell you how I get it. It's right here in the Bible. It says in the book of Hebrews. You know the name Hebrews? It deals with the Jewish people, but it's a book that deals with all of us. If you'll listen carefully to these words, it says in Hebrews chapter 9, listen to this, in verse 27, it says, it is appointed. Are you listening? It is appointed. It's on a calendar. There's an appointment. It is appointed for what? For men once to die. But then the sentence doesn't stop right there. He goes on to say this. And then after this, after what? After the death comes judgment. Let me read it again. It says, it is appointed unto men once to die, and then after this, judgment. Hey, but let me read the next verse to you. Verse 28 says this. Now listen carefully. If you don't have a Bible, many of you don't, so just listen to it. It says this. So Christ, and that's Jesus, Jesus Christ. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. The word bear means to carry. If someone says, hey, will you bear this chair for me? It means carry it, all right? So let me start over. So Christ was once offered to bear or to carry the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time. You say, what? Okay, he's already come once. We've called it Christmas all of our lives, okay? He came the first time, but he's coming a second time. So again, let me back up. Are you listening to the verse? So Christ was once offered to carry the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time, listen to this, without sin unto salvation. Now look, folks, there's several things that can be learned from those three verses. From those two verses, three things I want you to see about them. It tells us that we're all going to die. Now, I'm sorry to give you the bad news, but I think you probably already knew that, all right? We're all going to die. I just don't know when, but we're going to die. It's appointed. You know, I've taken young people to summer camps, and you've probably gone to various camps one sort or another. I've taken kids to summer camps before. And you know when you go to a camp and you're there, like you've done tonight, you meet kids from other churches and so forth and other places, and you make friends and so forth, and you promise, I'll write you forever, you know, and that goes on for about a week and a half. And, you know, I mean, you make all these long-term friends and so forth. Well, we went to camp. We came back home on Saturday, and then on Sunday we were meeting with our youth group like this, and one of our girls stood up. We were having a time of testimony of what God was doing in everybody's heart. This girl stood up, and with tears in her eyes, she said, I met a guy at camp this week. We became very good friends. He's from another state. She told us where he's from, and she said, but I just found out that last night when his youth group went home, his church youth group went home, he was out walking in the country, and a car hit him, and he was killed. You know something, I'm sorry, but the truth is, it was his time. It was an appointment. It is an appointed thing. We're all going to die. But there's something else to be seen here. It says this. When we die, here it is, you're going to be held accountable to God. And that makes a lot of people uncomfortable. It says, after this, the judgment. Some people are going to be judged for their life. You're going to be judged for what you've done. You say, well, I'll miss that day. You can't. It's God's appointment book. It is a point. We're all going to die, and you're going to be held accountable to God. But there's one more thing in here, folks. The verse 28, the last verse I read to you, says that when we do die, for some people, it's going to be cool. It's going to be comforting. It's going to be wonderful because they're going to face God. And the last phrase said, without sin unto salvation. So look, we've got everybody dies. Everybody dies, okay, at some point in time. It's on the calendar book of heaven. Everybody's going to die. There are some, now I'm not picking on you, okay, but there are some who are going to die and they're going to face God with all of their junk of sin in their life, All the filthy thoughts, all the dirty words, all the unkind statements, all the vulgarities, all the pornographic looking, all the disrespect of authority, talking back to parents, all the cheating in school, every lie. You're going to stand before God, and everything you have forgotten you've ever done, He's kept records of it. He knows. And you'd be held accountable to Him. But then there's another group of people that when they die, they face God. And it's like the Bible says, without sin. And God looks at you and He says, you're clean, squeaky clean, crystal clear. Come on in. The Bible says salvation, you've been saved. Let me give you another word. You've been rescued. There is no accounting for you because your life is, in the eyes of God, clean. And you say, no, wait a minute. How come some people have to answer to God for their life and some people don't? He told you how. Christ carried your sins. And I got news for you. Sin has to be paid for. And you'll either pay for it yourself or you'll accept what Jesus did for you. Hey, when you've been given a task, take us back to school here. You've been told to do something. Get your homework in. Submit a book report. You know how we come up with silly excuses? You know what I'm saying? Your mom says, get your room clean. Your dad says, mow the yard. And he comes home and he goes, hey, the yard's not been mowed. Dad, my boss called and I had to go into work. And your dad says, you're 13, you don't have a job. Oh, yeah, okay. Give me just a second, Dad. I'll come up with something. Yeah, you're had. Our teacher says, where's your book report? I did it, teacher. I did it. My cat loves book reports, and he just took it down the street. I'm sorry, I got to start completely over. Can I have another week to get to, it's excuses. It's a joke, Here's one some kid used one time. I had my homework done. An alien came into my room and took it to a distant galaxy somewhere else. It's an excuse. It's a joke. It's not gonna work. You know something? There's a lot of excuses that people use to not have a relationship with God too. There's some common excuses. And young people, none of it's going to hold water before God because it's appointed unto man. You're going to die. And after that comes judgment. But for some, they're going to look at Him and without sin, they're going to be rescued. Listen, why would you not want to have a relationship with God? Why? Well, there's some excuses that people come up with. One excuse I put in the category of conceit. Conceit, or I could call it pride. Conceit. It's like this. I'm not that bad. God's not gonna send me to hell. I know a lot of people worse off than I do. I don't cuss as much as a lot of people I go to school with. Hey, listen, I'll tell you something. I mean, I've drunk a little bit. I don't get drunk, Hey, man, I didn't kill anybody. I'm not that bad. Okay, help me out. Help me out. Don't talk out loud. Just hold up a finger, all right? If it's going to be 4, if it's 5, if it's going to be 10. If it's more than 10, you can just do this, okay? Let me ask you this question, all right? Everybody ready? Get your hands ready. Just answer it to me, okay? How many people do I have to kill before I'm called a murderer, okay? How many? Come on. Oh, come on. Just one? Well, y'all hold a high standard. Okay, let me ask another one. Okay. How many banks do I have to rob before I'm called... would you settle down? Before I'm called... One kid's over there going... before I'm called a thief or a robber. How many banks? Come on, give me... Okay. How many sins do I have to commit before I'm called a sinner? And who in this room's only done one thing wrong? You get the picture? God's standard says no sin. No sin. No sins allowed in heaven. You know what that means? You and I are in trouble. Because I'm going to tell you, if you only did one sin a day, which is highly unlikely, If you only did one thing against God one time a day, every day of your life, and you live to be 70, I need to get a calculator, and don't sit there and try to figure it out. You got thousands and thousands of sins. You've lost track of everything you've ever done because a lot of the sins occur in your heart and mind. You say, preacher, I got it. I'm a sinner. I got it. Guess what? Then don't sit here tonight and be full of yourself saying, I'm okay. Not in the eyes of God. Not in the eyes of God. It is appointed. You're going to die. You're going to be held accountable to God. And it's your sin that is separated between you and God. The Bible said there is no one righteous. And how true that is. The Bible says there is no one without sin. For all have sinned. And it would be silly for us not to admit it. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, hey, get this. When Jesus died on the cross, you probably know this. There were three crosses on that hillside. There were two criminals. There were two thieves, two murderers on either side of Jesus Christ. And one of them said to him, if you really are Jesus, the Son of God, why don't you get it? And of course, I'm sure he wasn't talking this loud because he was dying on that cross, being crucified. It was with very struggled breath and with words. He said, why don't you get us down off this cross? Pull yourself down and take us with you. The other guy on the other side said, you and I do justly. He says, you and I deserve what's happening to us. And then he said, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Would you take me to your kingdom of heaven when you die? And Jesus said to him, today you're going to be with me in paradise, in heaven. And you listen to me, every single one of you are in one category or the other. You're either in this category that says, I don't have time for Jesus. I don't believe in that stuff. I don't want to get involved with all that junk. I don't want to do that. And you will be held accountable and God will condemn you, forgive me, to hell. It's a clear taught truth in the Word of God. You say, well, my church said that there's a place that's not hell that you go to and people pray you out. That's not taught in the Bible. That's man coming up with some plan to alternate what God has already declared. It's either heaven or hell. This thief said, I want to be with you. And he swallowed his pride. He swallowed his conceit. He said, I know I'm a sinner. Let me go. Forgive me of my sins. Okay? You got to find out which crowd you're in. Look at me. There's this one excuse of conceit. There's another excuse I can see that people come up with. And that's it. That's this. The category of being confused. They're confused. Here it is. They say, you know, don't you just have to, you know, go to church all the time? And then God says you can come to heaven? No. Okay. Don't you have to just be more good than bad? And that ought to, you know, when your life is over with, God takes a look at your life and he says, okay, on the scales, you've got more good than bad. Come on in. Isn't that the way it works? No. Not at all. Because God has a standard of perfection and any bad, any sin says, can't let you in. You say, well, Mr. Morris, I don't know what I'm supposed to do to have a relationship with God. Now listen to me. Let me answer that for you. It's not what you do, because it's already been done for you. You have been given an opportunity to have a relationship with God. When you go to school, I know you've probably heard this before. You know, here's a couple of guys off to the corner, maybe at lunch or something, and some guy says to his buddy, hey, I think that girl likes you. And he goes, huh? You know, got mustard hanging out of his mouth and eating his third hot dog. Huh? Yeah, I think she likes you. How do you know? She smiled at you. Nobody smiles at you. I think she likes you.
Or girls. They go into the girls' office. You know what that is, don't you? The restroom. And they go, you know, a whole pack of them. Boys never do that. Girls go running, and someone says, he likes you. And she goes, how do you know? Because he brushed his teeth. So he can talk to you. He never brushes his teeth. Okay, I'm being a bit silly, but you got the idea? You know what I'm saying? People say, I think he likes you. I think she likes you. You know something? I'm going to tell you something tonight. I don't think God likes you.
I know he loves you. If you knew somebody that, I mean, if you love somebody, listen to me, fellas. If you knew somebody that you love with all your heart and they were lost, say in the woods here of North Carolina, there's woods everywhere in North Carolina. If some kid was lost in the woods and you loved him, it was your best friend, it was a good friend, it was a parent, it was someone very special, and you wanted to help them and they were lost and they could get in touch with you, wouldn't you do everything in your power to get them out of that mess? You'd make it as simple as could be. If you could, you'd spare no expense. You'd get in a helicopter and ride above them and say, I see you. And you'd call them and say, go to your left. No, the left. And go 100 yards and you'll be at the closest road. You'd do everything you could to make it easy for them. Why? Because you love them. You think God's going to make it hard for you to come to Him? He loves you, friend. Listen to me. He wants you to be safe, not lost. And he says, I'm going to tell you what you need to do. You need to come by way of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Son of God. You have to have him in your life if you're going to have a relationship with God. You say, I don't know how to do that. That's a fair question. That's a fair statement. I understand. Let me see if I can make it simpler. I put my wife on a plane today. I mean, I didn't actually, put her on the plane. But my wife got on a plane today, and she flew to Indiana. Now, did you notice how I put that? She flew. I hope this doesn't come as a shock to you, but my wife actually does not know how to fly. Okay? Can I tell you? We didn't get on top of Emmanuel Baptist Church, and she said, I'll see you tomorrow. I'm going to fly to Indiana. And she took off. And that didn't happen. Hope this doesn't disappoint you, but I don't know how to fly either. I've never done it. If I got up there, it would be a sad account. And I would hope you wouldn't laugh, okay? It would be ugly. But she got to Indiana. Why? Because she got on this big tube with wings with who knows how many hundreds of others, I don't know. And she trusted the plane to do for her what she couldn't do for herself. She needed to get to Indiana. And she couldn't get there on her own. It would have been impossible. But she trusted in a plane to do for her what she couldn't do for herself. You say, preacher, I want to go to God someday. I want to go to heaven someday. I don't know how. Of course you don't. It'd be impossible for you and I to try to do it on our own. You get the picture? So what do? Listen to me. You trust the one person to do for you what you can't do for yourself. Who is that? Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what he said. This is what he said. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter, he shall be saved. One time a man said to a preacher, he goes, what must I do to be saved? I want to go to heaven. And the preacher said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. He said, well, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Okay, but wait a minute. He said, well, I believe that he was virgin born and I believe that he rose from the dead. Yeah, I believe all that. Yeah, he's the Son of God. He's in heaven. Yeah, I believe that. It's good to say you believe that, but listen to me. If you just have it as a fact in your head, but you have never gone to him and said, I need you to be my Savior, to forgive me of my sins. I am trusting in you to do for me what I can't do for myself. Then all you've got is head knowledge about Jesus. You don't have a heart trust. I hesitate to tell you this. I live in Indianapolis, Indiana, and I like football. I really do. And several years ago, we got a new football coach in town. His name is Tony Dungy. You ever heard of Tony Dungy? Yeah. Good guy. A real good guy. I got so excited about him coming, I contacted him. I talked to him. We had a great talk. He's as nice a guy as you could ever imagine. And I spoke with him. I invited him to the church where I go to church when I'm home in Indianapolis. And he said, well, maybe I can come sometime. I thanked him for for his good manner with which he coaches and his good testimony that he has put his trust in Jesus Christ. You know what he said to me? He said, Morris, would you like to speak to the Indianapolis Colts football team? I said, yep. Think I'd like that. He said, write this guy's name down. Here's his phone number. You call him and you tell him Coach Dungy sent you to him. And I said, it's okay. I want you to speak to the team. I said, just tell him that you sent me. You tell him Tony Dungy said you can speak to the team. You know what Jesus says to you? You know what God says to you? God says, I want to have a relationship with you. And Jesus said, I can get you in touch with God. Come by me. I'm the only way you're going to get with God. Jesus is the door. So it's as if I could say to God, Lord, I want to go to heaven when I die. And Jesus sent me. He said that he would represent me and he's here with me. And he forgives your sins and comes into your life. There are those who are conceited. I'm all right. There are those who are confused. Isn't there several ways to heaven? No, only one way, Jesus. And then thirdly, there are those who last of all are careless. You say, what do you mean careless? Well, they think, one of these days I'll do that. Yeah, one of these days I'll get serious about God. It is appointed. There is a day that you will face God. Are you listening? And you don't know when it is. The Bible says now is the time of salvation. Today is the accepted time. The Bible says in Psalm 95, today if you hear his voice, in other words, if you hear him talking to you, trying to bring you to him, harden not your heart. A boy was playing a baseball game. It was a championship game. It was at the last, he was in the last inning. There was a couple of men on base. They were losing. They needed to score three runs to win. Two men on base. This guy was on at the plate and he parked it. You know what I mean? He knocked it out of the park. Last at bat, home run, won the game. He was rounding the bases. As he rounded third base, his coach was there to give him a high five. He said, Brian, how you doing? He said, this is the greatest day of my life, coach. He gave him a high five and never made it to home plate. Fell over in the dirt and took his last breath. It's appointed. Every day, people breathe their last. And then comes judgment if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ. But for those who have Christ in their life, there's no sin. God looks at you and he says, welcome in. Jesus carried your sins to the cross. And you trusted him to do for you what you couldn't do for yourself. You put your trust in him. A boy by the name of Devin came to me one day and he was 17 years of age. He said, Mr. Morris, I know I need to have a relationship with God and I know I need to ask Jesus Christ to save me, but I don't know how. I said, well, Devin, do you know that you're a sinner? Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. He said, who isn't? I said, that's right. I said, we're all sinners. I said, do you realize that God is holy? And because of his holiness, he can't allow us into heaven. God has a standard of perfection. You know that? He said, of course, he's God. He wouldn't want me in heaven in this condition. I said, do you realize that Jesus Christ paid for your sins? He paid what you couldn't pay. So that if you'll ask Jesus Christ to come, do you realize he paid for your sins? Yes. I said, then Devin, do you realize all you have to do is pray and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you, come into your life, he'll save you. And you can live eternally with God clean, no sin on your record. He said, I can't do that. I said, Devin, you know you're a sinner? Yes. You know God's holy? Yes. Jesus paid for your sins? Yes. All you got to do is ask him to come into your life and save you. He said, I don't know how. I said, what do you mean you don't know how? He said, I've never prayed. I said, oh, Devin. Is that what your problem is? He said, I don't know how to talk. I don't know how to pray to God. I said, Devin, what are you and I doing right now? He said, we're talking. I said, then when you pray, it's talking. You're talking to God. Though you're not looking Him in the eye, that's why we say we often close our eyes and bow our head in a sense of reverence. We talk to God and we say, God, we enter into His presence and we talk to Him like we're talking, like you and I are talking. He said, is that what prayer is? I said, that's what prayer is. He said, I can do that. I can talk. I said, then why don't we talk to God right now? He said, okay. We bowed our heads. I prayed. I thanked God for Devin and that he wanted to get saved. I said, okay, Devin, your turn. If I live to be 100, I'll never forget it. He said, hi, God. This is Devin. I wanted to say, he knows you, Devin. He's God. But I told him, just talk to God like he's talking to me. So I wasn't going to interrupt him. He said, I hope everything's going well for you there in heaven. I thought, yeah, everything's going real well for God in heaven. And then he said, God, I got this sin, and it's really been a problem. Well, of course, you know about it. I'm so glad that you sent Jesus to take care of my sin. I want him to be my Savior right now. Would that be okay with you, God? That's really what I want. Well, you said that you'd do it, so I'm trusting you. Thank you, God. I'll be talking to you later on. Amen. You know what happened to Devin? He became a child of God. As much as the pastor who brought you tonight, as much as the best person that believed in Jesus Christ, you know, he was a child of God. Have you done that? Have you done that? Which person on the cross represents you? It's appointed unto man, everybody's going to die. And then after that comes a judgment. For those who don't know Jesus Christ, there's a heavy, heavy judgment. And God's going to say, I know everything you've ever done that's against me. And I must separate from you and send you to hell. But there are those who have come to God by way of Jesus Christ and have entered in the doorway of Jesus and have said, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. And God looks at that person. He says, you're crystal clear, squeaky clean, not a problem. Welcome home. Which one are you? You say, preacher, I really want to be in that other crowd. I want to be saved. Then don't go away tonight without taking care of it. Now is the accepted time. You say, but what about, don't worry about that person. But what about my friends? Don't worry. Listen, it's appointed unto every single person. You're going to face God someday. You'll either face Him as your judge or as your Savior. Take care of it tonight. Let's bow our heads for prayer.